The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on June 24, 1983, and at Miami, Florida. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 2, Verse 5.
Tasya sulalita gamana pada vinyasa gati vilasayas chanu padang kanakanaya manaruchira charana bharana swanam upakanya naradeva kumara samadhi yogina milita nayana nalina mugula yugalam ishat vikachaya vyachashta. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As Purva Chitti passed by on the road in a very beautiful style and mood of her own, the pleasing ornaments on her ankles tinkled with her every step. Although Prince Agnidra was controlling his senses, practicing yoga with half-open eyes, he could see her with his lotus-like eyes, and when he heard the sweet tinkling of her bangles, he opened his eyes slightly more and could see. That she was just nearby. Translation with repetition. As Purva Chitti passed by,
On the road,
in a very beautiful style, and mood of her own, the pleasing ornaments on her ankles, tinkled with her every step. Although Prince Agnidra
was controlling his senses,
practicing yoga with half open eyes, he could see her. With his lotus-like eyes. And when he heard the sweet tingling of her bangles, he opened his eyes slightly more, and could see that she was just nearby. Want to read the purport, Srila Charity?
Yeah.
Purport. It is said that yogis always think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within their hearts. Dhyana vastita tagatena monasa pasyanti yang yogina. Bhagavatam 12.13.1. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always observed by yogis who practice controlling their venomous senses. As recommended in the Bhagavad Gita, yogis should practice sampreksha nashikagram, keeping their eyes half open. If the eyes are closed completely, there will be a tendency to sleep. So-called yogis sometimes practice a fashionable form of yoga by closing their eyes and meditating. But we have actually seen such so-called yogis sleeping and snoring while meditating. This is not the practice of yoga. To actually practice yoga, one should keep his eyes half open and gaze at the tip of his nose. Although Agnidra, the son of Priyavrata, was practicing mystic yoga and trying to control his senses, the tinkling sound of Purva Chitti's ankle bells disturbed his practice. Yoga Indra Sanyama. Actual yoga practice means controlling the senses. One must practice mystic yoga to control the senses, but the sense control of a devotee who fully engages in the service of the Lord with his purified senses, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, can never be disturbed. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati therefore stated, Durdantendriya Kala Sarpa Patali Protkata Dhanstrayate. Chaitanya Chandramita 5. The practice of yoga is undoubtedly good because it controls the senses, which are like venomous serpents. When one engages in devotional service, however, completely employing all the activities of the senses in the service of the Lord, the venomous quality of the senses is completely nullified. It is explained that a serpent is to be feared because of its poison fangs. But if those fangs are broken, the serpent, although it seems fearsome, is not at all dangerous. Devotees therefore may see hundreds and thousands of beautiful women with fascinating bodily movements and gestures, but not be allured. Whereas such women would make ordinary yogis fall. Even the advanced yogi Viswamitra broke his mystic practice to unite with Menaka and to get a child known as Sakuntala. The practice of mystic yoga, therefore, is not sufficiently strong to control the senses. Another example is Prince Agnidra, whose attention was drawn to the movements of Purvachiti, the Apsara, simply because he heard the tinkling of her ankle bells. In the same way that Viswamitra Muni was attracted by the tinkling bangles of Menaka, Prince Agnidra, upon hearing the tinkling bangles of Purvachiti, immediately opened his eyes to see her beautiful movements as she walked. The prince was also very handsome as described herein. His eyes were just like the buds of lotus flowers. As he opened his lotus-like eyes, he could immediately see that the Apsara was present by his side. Thus end the purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Text 5, Chapter 2, Canto 5, The Activities of Maharaj Agnidra. So, here we see another example of how the material attraction works. In several places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained through these practical type of pastimes. Just like when Lord Shiva saw the Mohini Murti. Here again we sing Agnidra Maharaj. He is seeing Purvachiti. And another place it also describes Viswamitra and others. So, how the Bhagavad Gita describes that by contemplating on the objects of the senses one develops attachment, from attachment then one starts to develop lust, and this way desire, illusion, anger fall down, everything comes one after another. So he was there meditating with his half open eyes, and the object of the senses drew his senses, and then I'm sure that we'll see step after step how he becomes conquered by these senses. So this should give us all a good example how we have to, at the very root of thought, the root of desire, we have to control the mind and continually bring the mind back to Krishna. It's very hard for these yogis when they're simply meditating on the nose, and in front of their nose is Purvachiti and Apsara, to bring their meditation back to their nose. And when they're trying to meditate on the Umka or something going on in their ear, and they hear the dingling, the jangling, tinkling bangles, it's very hard to bring their consciousness back to this meditation. But for the devotee who can bring his mind back to the beautiful form of Radha and Krishna, who can bring his ears back to the beautiful sound of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then it is possible to control the senses, even though the senses are so dangerous compared to serpents. Similarly, another example is there of another type of serpent. The Prabhupada discusses here about yogis who are actually more or less imposters. They're not even following this practice of yoga. Yesterday in the plane, someone asked me that I heard there are two types of yoga. One is the exercise and the other is meditation. Actually, nobody knows what yoga is. They all think that yoga just means exercise, and now people think maybe you can also meditate. But that the actual purpose of yoga is to reach the absolute truth. This they've kept a secret. So therefore, there's also an advice for us. That avoishnava makot girnam putang harikotam itam sravanam noiva kottabhyam sarpuchisthanata paya. Not to hear the lessons on the transcendental qualities of Hari, the explanations of Bhagavatam from the lips of non-Vaishnavas. By doing so, this is like drinking milk touched by the lips of a serpent. One will become poisoned and fall down. So we're so fortunate that Lord Chaitanya, he taught the six Goswamis. They in turn, they taught other disciples. In this way, the disciplic succession has handed down this message. Down through Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gokishodas, Babaji, Bhakti, Siddhanta, Sarasi, Thakur, Srila, Avoy Chan, Bhaktivedanta, Sai Prabhupada, and Srila Hidayana, Goswami, Acharya, Dev. Like this, the disciplic succession is coming down. So that we can get the transcendental and pure message. So this parampara system is so important because each spiritual master is taking on the mood of the previous spiritual master and the line from the previous spiritual masters. In this way, it's transmitted down generation after generation. According to time, place, and circumstance, preaching is going on, but the original mood, the original vision is always intact, bringing people up to the highest standard of pure Krishna consciousness. This way, actually, reflecting on the original situation, just after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this planet, of course we know that even Haridas Thakur, he requested to leave before Lord Chaitanya because he knew that it would be so difficult to be present after he had gone. The separation of the devotees would be so intense that it would be unbearable, especially for him who was so close to Lord Chaitanya. So he requested to exit first. You get an idea of the situation then. So at that time, Rup and Sanatan, the six Goswamis, they were in Vrindavan. But after some time, Rup and Sanatan also joined Lord Chaitanya after finishing their writing. At that time, after their departure, we know that Srinivas Acharya, he finally made his way over to Vrindavan, where he met Jiva Goswami and took initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and who gave him back to Jiva Goswami for instructing him. Didn't keep him, but gave him to Jiva Goswami because he was more expert in certain aspects of training people in the philosophy. In fact, Hidayananda, the disciple of Gauridas Pandit, who was Subal Sakha in Krishna's pastime, he had a disciple called Dukhi Krishnadas, which means unhappy servant of Krishna. And he sent him with a little note to Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan, please train up my disciple and send him back for preaching. So when he was there, he was so enraptured with Shyam Sundar that he was given the name Shyamananda Pandit, one of the very prominent acharyas in our sampradaya. At a similar time, Narottam Das Thakur also found his way to Vrindavan after the big Gaur Purnima festival with Janava Devi and Achyutananda, the son of Advaita Acharya, and Bir Chandra, the son of Nityananda, and Srinivasacharya and others. Oh, actually, that was much later. Is this before, yes, excuse me. Narottam Thakur went before that. This is in the beginning. He went there directly from Khetri when he ran away from his home. He went directly, practically, this was a stop in all of the few places. He went directly to Vrindavan, and there he took initiation from Lokanath Goswami after a long, that's another pastime, long trial, testing by his spiritual master. So there, these three devotees are all studying under Jiva Goswami, young brahmacharis, studying under Jiva Goswami. Each had their different initiating spiritual masters. Jiva Goswami himself was, of course, a spiritual master, but he was instructing them. And they would, apart from their lessons, they would sometimes go over to Radhakunda and see Raghunath Das Goswami and Krishna Das Kaviraj. Sometimes they'd go to Govardhan, see Dvija Haridas. This way they would be having so many pastimes in Vrindavan. Sometimes even they would see Lord Chaitanya and Darshan, they would see Radha and Krishna, sometimes in their meditation, different pastimes. They love Vrindavan, they're so happy they are in the association of devotees. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita had been written, all the works by Rupa and Sanatana were written, but they had never been taken to Bengal. They're just sitting there, waiting. There's no pandits there for copying. In those days you didn't have the printing press, they had the hand copying. So all the pandits were Navadvip. That was the head of all the education in the country. So one day Jiva Goswami had a dream from Rupa and Sanatana that Srinivas Acharya should go. That very same day, Srinivas Acharya was having darshan at the Aarti of Govindadev in the Govindaji temple. That's before Govindaji was taken to Jaipur. At the end of the Aarti, Govindaji spoke, Srinivas should take all the literatures and go east.
East, Govindaji.
Immediately, everyone, of course, was so surprised. You don't normally expect the deity to make a proclamation, but of course, that's due to our possibly not understanding the deity's potentials. It's unlimited, personal acha avatar. So the deity actually ordered Srinivasacharya to go. And the others also, Narottam and Shyamananda Pandit were also sent along. At this time, Narottam composed a little song, a little sloka, offering his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of devotee and who had so many energies. And some of these personal energies were manifesting as the writers of transcendental literature, like Rupa and Sanatana. And he said some of these energies were the distributors of these literatures, like Srinivasacharya. So, when this first Sankirtan party left, when it was ready to go, all the books were, the king there, of the local king, he gave a bullock cart with some guards, and they put all the books in the big in a big trunk with the Chaitanya Charitamrita on the bottom and the other books up on the top. And then they were about to go on an auspicious day. Then even Raghunath Das came out of Radhakunda, Krishna Das Kaviraj came up from there also. All the associates of Vrindavan, all the remaining Goswamis, all the eternal associates like Bhugarbha and Lokanath, whoever was still left, who hadn't disappeared, they all came to see off the first Sankirtan party as they're going out to bring these books to Bengal, to copy them, to distribute them, to establish their philosophy throughout all the nations and all the... In those days, there are so many different kingdoms, so all these different kingdoms, which are different nations, all over that part of India, and then to spread it everywhere from there. So, in fact, they walked right up to the edge of Vrindavan. But because most of them at that point, they just went to the edge of Vrindavan and saw them off, Only Jiva Goswami and one or two others, they went all the way to them, with them up to Mathura. This way, from Mathura, they saw them off, and then they all headed along the path of the Ganges, along the road, till finally they went through what's now today Uttar Pradesh, Bihar, till finally they got on the border of Bihar. They're heading towards Navadvip. They entered into Bengal. The end of Bengal is very beautiful. There's so many beautiful trees and coconuts and bananas. And Bihar, the other place, tend to be a little bit dry, but Bengal is luscious because the Ganges flowing through and so many rivers like the Damodar flowing through it, the Ajoy. So as soon as they entered into Bengal, they were very happy. They knew they were getting close to Navadvip. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned how in the whole universe that this earth planet, this particular planet, is the most wonderful because here Lord Krishna himself and Lord Chaitanya appears. And that in the whole earth planet, the Bharat Varsha is the most auspicious. And there, the land of Gora Mandala Bhumi is the most sacred. And within that, the Sri Mayapur Dham, Navadvip, is the most transcendental and beautiful place in the whole. So they say they're very eager that now they're coming close, they're already entering Gora Mandala Bhumi. They're going on and they rested. Of course, you know the pastime how there was a king called Gombirambira Maharaj Bikram Mahadev Shah. And that he had a little secret service. That secret service was specially sent to rob people. And he had a nice astrologer. He was also used to tell when people were going on the road, they had a lot of money. So in this way, yeah, you know, it was like little, you didn't have enough taxes. There, those days, they couldn't, you know, jack the taxes up to 90%. You could only take 25%. That was like, you had to follow the Vedas. So when the king wanted a little extra, so he had a little pastime that he had his, you know, special guards. And he had an astrologer, and the astrologer would calculate. He says, wow, there's some very valuable treasures then coming along the road. Then he would send out his own troops dressed as bandits. They'd rob the people and take the money. The people come and say, protect us, we are robbed. He said, it's really, you know, give them a little, you know, pocket money and send them on. This was, you know, but he was actually a strange combination. He was like one of these fringy kinds because he used to every day listen to the Bhagavatam. But whenever he would get a little, he would have Bhagavatam class in his courtroom. He was a little pious in that way. But then when he got a little, went a little quick money, just like some people do when they, you know, he went, well, he would, you know, send out his private group there. So this time the astrologer told them that the most valuable treasure is coming. It's incredible. It's priceless. According to this, it's beyond calculation, its value. He said, wow, he started, you know, just... And there's hardly any guards, according to this. It's practically unguarded. He said, oh, just, you know, call my special team. So the team thing, you know, he says, I have this assignment. You have to go out, and there's some people coming along with this treasure, and then you bring it to me, and I'll reward each of you with 100 gold coins. And so they went out, and Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas and Shyamananda Pandit, a couple of, you know, guards, they were taking rest in the evening after finishing their japa, and then right, 2 in the morning, they see that, well, everyone's asleep. So they go and they steal the box. It was like taking candy from a baby sleeping. They woke up. The books are gone. And just, you know, I can't explain what happened to those devotees, Narottam and Shyamananda and Srinivas. Where are the books? Where are the books? They're, no, no! All the whole acharyas, everyone, they've given the book. The books were gone. They're pounding their head on the stones and crying. Finally, Sri, after just going on like that for hours and hours, Srinivas got them all together. He looked everywhere after a couple of days. He told them, please, it was a reminder. This is definitely Krishna's Krishna did this. We can't lose these books. We'll definitely get them back. You go to Kertiri Narottam, and I'll send you a message as soon as I get the books. I'll find it. Every one of us stop preaching. You go and start the preaching, and Shyamananda Prabhu, please, you see your spiritual master, and then go preaching. And I will inform you as soon as I find the books. Is my original response, let me find the books, and let us not all of us just waste our time in this way. I'll find the books. Somehow or another, I know that Lord Chaitanya will not allow these books to just remain lost like this. So in this way, the Narottam went and he started preaching in Kateri by the East Bengal and sent preachers to Manipur and made the whole state of Manipur to a Vaishnav state, his disciple, Ganga Das. And that's why the Manipuris, they do all these, they're really great devotees of Narottam, because the disciple and grand disciples of Narottam Das Thakur went there and preached, and Shyamananda was met his spiritual master Hidayananda and was sent to Orissa for preaching. Then they all got together again later on several occasions. So in this way, we could see that... You want to hear what happened in the book? Thought I'd leave that for next... Couldn't get out that easy. Didn't think I would. actually, we can see from this the how in the time of Lord Chaitanya, although they didn't officially have, you know, a GBC like that, but although they had many spiritual masters and they had many different devotees, but practically it was just like spontaneous GBC. I mean, just all the Goswamis and the senior devotees, they would discuss, and whatever they decided, all the other devotees would accept, and everyone was working together. It was one movement. It wasn't like a dozen movements. It was one movement, but they had their own preaching place, they had their own assignments, and they would come together and have big festivals, and Gaur Purnima, and disappearance days, appearance days of great associates of Lord Chaitanya, or Nityananda's appearance, and like that. And it was just spontaneous. We're seeing here, and ISKCON Prabhupada has kept the same mood. Now, making the whole ISKCON world movement with so many different spiritual masters and preachers and GBCs and sannyasis and temple presidents and regional secretaries and so on, Sankirtan devotees, and how they all preach in their different areas, and we get together to Mayapur Festival, sometimes we get together just like this, getting together, having association, Srila Acharya Dev, Jagjiva Maharaj here, Jaidwaita, different preachers. Like this, sometimes it'd be informal, sometimes they'd have formal get-togethers. So, Srinivas, of course, that time, he sent them away. Then he just started to pray. That Lord Chaitanya, I have taken this great responsibility from all these devotees. And in the meantime, of course, the word got back to Vrindavan and everybody. Books were gone. So Srinivas, he prayed and prayed, and then he started looking everywhere. I just looked everywhere, asked the people. Finally, someone told him, why don't you go and ask the king? Now, in the meantime, the robbers took the books back, took the big box, brought it back to the king. The king, he said, this is so valuable, I don't even want them to see what's in it. I just gave him the money and said, gave him the money and sent him off. Thank you very much. Good job. Well done. Then he put the treasure in the bag, locked all the doors, broke it open, opened it up. Books! Books! What is this? He looked at the books. These are religious books. This is something Bhagavatam, and what? He called this pandit in, and this pandit tried to figure out, I said, this is very difficult. This is very difficult to understand. And then the king said, oh, no! Now I've done it! Yeah, this is the most valuable. This is some rare scriptures, and those were sadhus. Those were Vaishnavas. And he knew that much reading all Bhagavatam, that now I've stolen from so many karmis, and then I can get rid of that karma, but now I stole it from the Vaishnavas! Oh no! Now my whole kingdom's gonna be finished! My dynasty, everything! I'm gonna be wiped out! Oh no! He sent back those bandits. Find the purple you stole this from! Wherever they are, find them! And bring them here! So they're looking all over, you know, they couldn't find them. They'd already sent, only Srinivas was there. So in the meantime, the king was every day listening to Bhagavatam in complete anxiety, thinking, how am I going to get out of this? Now I've done it. So one day, Srinivas came into the courtroom, and he heard the Bhagavatam. Now the Bhagavatam, these are smart Brahmas, they didn't know how to properly explain the Bhagavatam. So then, Srinivas came in and he was hearing this crazy interpretation of the Bhagavatam. And he just couldn't tolerate it. And he said, this is not correct. Now when you come in to the king's courtroom and the Raj Guru of the king is giving Bhagavatam class and you say that this is bogus, you better know what you're talking about. Otherwise you may lose part of your body. So then, immediately, some of the ministers says, oh, so here's someone calling the king's guru doesn't know what he's speaking about? The king says, you explain? So then they gave him the Bhagavatam. So he started giving Bhagavatam class. And he explained the Bhagavatam. Of course, being Srinivas Acharya, got the name Acharya was given to him by the Goswamis because he was so expert in explaining the Bhagavatam, the personal disciple, Shiksha disciple Srinivas of Jiva Goswami and disciple Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So he explained the Bhagavatam course so much that everybody was melted. Then the king thought, this may be the one who owns the books. He took him in the back and he said, who are you? Where do you come from? And so then Srinivas Acharya, he just opened up. And he started to explain that Krishna is ever existing in the spiritual kingdom. He has come down as Sachisuta. He has come down as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he gave his own Nijavakti, his own devotional service, his own frame of bhakti. And he went and he preached all over India. He went to Puri, he went to South, he went everywhere. Then he came back and he preached in Ramakeli. And he delivered the two ministers, the prime minister and the finance minister, Rupa and Sanatan, and sent them to Vrindavan. And King Birbhi said, phew. And I always thought those guys are really stupid to have left their job as prime minister of the emperor. Because he has to pay taxes to them, because he was one of the minor kings under the Hussein Shah. He was one of the king, Maharajas, over the emperor. Emperor means he has so many sub-kings. And so he always had to pay tax to Rupa and Sanatana. He always said, why they left? And man, because when they were so powerful, he could never understand. Then, you know, he said, then he was starting to understand. You know. So then he could explain that how they wrote so many literatures, and there was the king of Keturi, the one Rai, and his son Narottam. Narottam was a prince. That he also went to join Rupa and Sanatana in Vrindavana. And then I went there and I was assigned with this responsibility of bringing these great souls, all their writings, to Bengal, to Navadvip, to be copied with Narottam and Shyamananda Pandey. We are going along. And my books were all stolen. All the writing of these great, great these great saints, these great devotees who had written all the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, they had written, and they're stolen. And he said, please, can you help me? Where are they? And the king fell at his feet. I took them. Please forgive me. I don't want to, you know. And then he completely just said, I want to accept you as my spiritual master. He said, just never mind all that. Where are the books? Take me there immediately. Where are they? So then Srinivas Acharya was taken by the king in the room, and he, oh, the books! Haribo! Haribo! The king said, nobody can understand what they mean. And the Chaitanya Charita had been put on the bottom. When they opened up the trunk, it was on the top. That is why, one of the reasons also why it's accepted as the topmost literature in our Sampradaya. So it was right on the top of all these literatures. So then, Srinivas Acharya, he started to give the class on Chaitanya Charitamrita there. The king became his disciple. His queen begged also to be initiated. First, he gave first initiation. After some years, he gave second. And he became the king's guru. The king said, I will get all the books copied. Don't have to go to Navadip. I'll personally bring them from Navadip. I'll get all the books copied here. It's not that far. You stay here. You make my whole kingdom Krishna conscious. And then he sent messengers over to Narottam and Chamananda Pandit, tell them that everything is all right. And Narahari, who was still on the planet, one of the original associates of Lord Chaitanya, Kiba Narahari Adi Kari, he ordered Srinivas Acharya that since you have this great opportunity for preaching as the king's guru, you should become, and for other reasons, you should, even though he was at that time still like a brahmachari, he wanted to take, you know, just remain like that, but Narahari ordered him, you should get married, because you can't be in a king's court and be a sannyasi. It's not appropriate. In those days, sannyasis, you know, from Prataparudra's past, they would not be in the king's court. You remain as the king's guru, and you make the whole kingdom Krishna conscious, and from there you organize the preaching everywhere. So in this way, the first books are brought over. And I was just meditating on how Srila Prabhupada had taken up that mood of writing and of distributing transcendental literature, doing both of the energies, the pastime of both of the energies of Lord Chaitanya, and how Srila Charyadeva, he also has taken up this transcendental service, writing literature, and he's encouraging his disciples here in Florida as well as in all over in Latin America and Southeast USA, wherever disciples are, to distribute books and to preach. How simultaneously he's writing and distributing books, he's doing both of these, even our great previous acharya, some would do one or some the other, but he's taken up this service and he's doing both, and having his devotees distribute these books. So actually, we can see that how this responsibility is handed down in the parampara, the responsibilities are handed down, and how seriously the different devotees take this up. So I was hoping to hear from Srila Charyadeva how we should take up this responsibility of Krishna consciousness spreading it all over the world and in every town and village as handed down by the previous acharyas. Hare Krishna.
I was just thinking as you were speaking how enlightening these pastimes are, how enjoyable it is to hear these stories, and how important it is to produce more and more of these literatures. We can see from these pastimes we're hearing how just like Lord Chaitanya preached, of course, in South India and also in Puri and in Bengal. He started his Sankirtan movement in Bengal, then he took sannyas and traveled for some time preaching in different places, but especially in South India, also other cities. Then he settled in Jagannath Puri and, of course, sent his followers to different places in India for preaching work. And Prabhupada always said how Lord Chaitanya left the world for his later followers to give them something to do. So we've been given so many places where we can also preach. Lord Chaitanya actually saved the entire world. But still, he superficially, some places were not yet saved so that we could also have engagement. So similarly, as you were speaking, I was thinking how many wonderful literature Srila Prabhupada has left for us to read, and to the wonderful stories about the saints, the stories about these great Vaishnavas, so many wonderful literatures. Even now we're working on the philosophy book, Dialectical Spiritualism, how Prabhupada has left us this work, and especially the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their pastimes. Of course, we have the main literature, which is Chaitanya Charitamrita. But still, there are so many literatures, and so by hearing you speak, I become very enthusiastic to hear more of these things. Just like there are so many statements in the Bhagavatam where the sages or Parikshit Maharaj reply to the speaker that we are not satiated by hearing Vayam Tuna Vitrapyama Uttama Shloka Vikrame Ditshin Uttangrasa Gyanang Sadhu Sadhu Pade Pade. They said Vayam, we, Vayam Tuna Vitrapyama, we are not satiated Uttama Shloka Vikrame Ditshin Uttam by hearing about the pastimes of Krishna. So in the same way, by hearing these wonderful stories about Srinivas, you're talking about Srinivas.
Srinivas, he's different than Srivas of the Panchatattva. Srinivas is the son of Sri Chaitanya Das and Lakshmi Priya, a devotee that met Lord Chaitanya when he took sannyas in Katwa. He's Srinivas Acharya as compared to Srivas.
Yeah. I knew it was another person because you said he was Brahmacharya. Of course, Srivas was the householder of the
force. Yeah, I should have explained that in the beginning.
Srinivas. Vasa or Nivasa basically means the same thing, residence, Vasa or Nivas. And Sri means the goddess of fortune, is the name of Krishna. Because Krishna's chest is the residence of the goddess of fortune, so Krishna is called Sri Vasa. He's the residence of the goddess of fortune, or Sri Nivasa. Anyway, footnote. But, so there are many statements in the Bhagavatam where the hearers, whoever is hearing, says that please go on speaking, and we want to hear more. And then they request, what about that other pastime? So, of course, we don't have time immediately, but I think that by hearing these nice pastimes from Srila Charyapada, I realized Gaura Mandala Bhumi Vasi. By hearing from the right person, I think all of us become very eager to hear more and more about the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. So we're very blessed because we are working on the BBT here. We have our BBT department. So we can not only relish personally, but we can also distribute. So, from the very beginning, when we began to organize the BBT here in Miami, the idea was from the very beginning that this should be a center for new books. There are, of course, many BBTs around the world for translating books and reprinting and so on. But my idea from the very beginning was that there should be a BBT division for flooding the world with new literatures. This was certainly Prabhupada's mood, to constantly supply new books and new things. Of course, Krishna consciousness is eternally the same, and there is that aspect which Prabhupada taught us, that don't change anything and so on, leave everything as it is. So that aspect is there, that it's eternally the same. We shouldn't. But at the same time, within that same Krishna consciousness, there's newer and newer experience. And that's the whole meaning of spiritual life. Krishna is Navajovana, and the book's also Navajovana, ever fresh. So that was my dream, or that was my vision, that just as nowadays people are so eager to read newspapers, what's the news? Every day people want to see what's new and watch television and what's the latest movie, what's the latest book, what's the latest this, what's the latest that. So in this age, certainly people are addicted to this. What's new? What's the news? What's happening today? And Prabhupada certainly was the master of this technique. He provided newer and newer literatures and newer programs for preaching. So in the same way, I've always felt very strongly that there should be a program to flood the world with newer and newer Vaishnava literatures so that no one will want to read these filthy news magazines, or no one will want to go to these obnoxious movies or read anything. There should be so many new literatures that the devotees and even the pious people in general, they don't even have time to read all the new books. There's so many, just like a little child in a candy store, he can't eat everything, he can't put enough in his pockets. When I was a child, I thought the ultimate thing in life would be to be in a candy store where I could take whatever I wanted. Children think like that. So if a child's in a candy store, then he can't fill his pockets enough. He can't carry all the candy that's there. So in the same way, there should be so many transcendental literatures that the devotees, just like we know when a new magazine comes out, when a new book comes out, we're very eager to read it. Somehow or other, we just sort of drop everything and read it. So in that same way, there should be so many new transcendental literatures that the devotees are struggling just to keep up. In that way, practically, there will be no Maya in the whole world. And there should be so many books, Vaishnava literatures, that if someone joins the movement, practically it will become a lifetime engagement just to read all the books. In other words, someone can be a scholar who reads many, many books, and yet they'll be all our books. So that's the idea. That there should be so many transcendental literatures that there will be unlimited enthusiasm and excitement, and everyone will always be talking about Krishna. I remember one time I was in the old Brooklyn Press. I was visiting there, I think. Maybe it was in Boston, I forget. Maybe it was in Boston. But I know that suddenly all the devotees were talking about something they just transcribed from Prabhupada, that when Garuda flaps his wings, it makes the sound of the Samaveda. The sound of Garuda's wing flapping is the sound of the Samaveda. You remember that? And so we were all talking about it. So there are so many exciting, wonderful things. Similarly, these past times that Acharyapada now has just told us, they're so nice. And there are hundreds and thousands, isn't it? They're almost unlimited. Unlimited. So, especially those who are in Miami in the BBT, all the devotees in Miami. We are very fortunate because certainly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested his most confidential associates to write books. Prabhupada says on his tape purport to the Shikshastaka prayers that Lord Chaitanya requested his followers to write books, a task which those who follow him have carried out down to the present day. So we are especially fortunate that we have got this unusually intimate connection with Lord Chaitanya, that we can actually produce newer and newer Vaishnava literatures, and in this way we can directly be Krishna's instrument for revealing to the world these ecstatic pastimes. I know just by hearing what Acharyapada just spoke, I felt very enlightened, and very enlightened and purified by hearing this wonderful pastime about Srinivas and all the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan. By hearing it, all of us have expanded our consciousness simply by hearing this pastime. So if there can be newer and newer books, it's so important. So all the devotees in DVT here, they should make a big commitment, very serious commitment to do this. This is the world headquarters in ISKCON for the production of new Vaishnava literature. Our Mahapandit is here, Gopi Pranadana. And now Jayaveda Swami is here. He's Prabhupada's senior editor, personal editor. So This is very auspicious. Of course, we can't expect the sannyasi to always stay. But if we pray sincerely and bake many cookies, he can stay. This can be his home away from the road. So actually, this was my dream, that there should be a center in ISKCON for producing so many new literatures that practically there's no time for anyone to talk about any material thing. At least within our society, there will be no more talk about material things. No one will want to read any material literature. There will be so many Vaishnava literatures that this will actually drive Maya out of our entire movement. Because despite this flooding, like flushing, like cleaning with water, there will be so many literatures, this flood will wipe, will drive out all material vibrations out of our society. And this way, that ISKCON will actually become a society of pure devotees by the influence of all these new literatures. So, this is our opportunity. It's a great opportunity. And if we can do it, then undoubtedly we all get special mercy from Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, all glory to Srila Charyapada, all glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Very inspired by your discussion, and if ever you like, and I'm always ready to give any manuscripts.
So, Mahapandit, you should So in the mood of Srila Charyapada, Srila Prabhupada, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the morning news. Krishna is the eternal personality of Godhead. So Krishna is a tutor, he never falls down. So as soon as a living entity surrenders to Krishna, is connected to that parampara, then he occupies that post. Do you understand? Now when you surrender to that person, you're surrendering to him not just because he's got a real good personality or because, you know, he's an expert violin player, or he... You understand? He's a good public speaker or something. No, because he's there with Krishna. Therefore, you surrender. Now, your surrender is to him as the representative of Krishna. Now, if for some reason a person like that, which is a little unusual, but there are historical examples, a person in that position, he takes a walk. So, but you see, your surrender is to that, is to Krishna through him. Do you understand? So, but you can't change your position. Your surrender was bona fide. Now, if that person gives up that position, then you no longer surrender to him. It's just like, but your position doesn't change. Do you understand? Your position doesn't change. Just like, for example, if you're paying your taxes to the government, so if a particular government worker resigns from his service, you still have to pay your taxes. And the government will have to provide someone to collect the taxes. Do you understand? The government doesn't change, and your position doesn't change. You still have to pay your taxes. So if a particular tax collector gives up his government service, then the government will have to have someone else collect the taxes. But nothing's changed. Your surrender, do you understand? Your decision to pay taxes to the government has not changed, and your obligation to the government has not changed, and your activity will not change. Yes?
How comes that the relationship in between the disciples is with the master is eternal?
Mm-hmm.
The eternal relationship in between the disciples is with the master.
Yes. If he's actually bona fide. You understand? If someone is not a bona fide spiritual master, if someone is only pretending to be a spiritual master, then how can that relationship be eternal? So therefore, the disciple has to know the real symptoms. Just like, for example, in the case I was just mentioned in England, there were some symptoms which were very unusual, that were not the normal symptoms. So some of the people in England, they were not... Of course, the young devotees, they didn't know, but they were not very strict and serious in seen if the same standard was being kept. Do you understand? In other words, just like we're always preaching, that is the duty of the disciple to see, to select a bona fide spiritual master. So the point is, anyone who joins this movement sincerely will get Krishna and will get a bona fide spiritual master. And the symptom that he's getting one is that he'll get Krishna. He'll if you have a bona fide spiritual master, then you're getting proper instruction. Any guru in ISKCON who is presenting Prabhupada as he is, or presenting the standard program, he's a bona fide guru. Just like if I tell my disciples, read these books. So I'm giving them the right knowledge. You understand? Now, if someone is actually a bona fide spiritual master, then that relationship is eternal. So it's not that because one particular person had some difficulty, therefore I'll become doubtful. This is also a foolish idea. Just like in the Gaudiya Math, all of them deviated except Prabhupada. I mean, like 50 of them or something, or 100, I don't know how many. Do you understand? And every last one of them, every single one of them, deviated from Bhakti Siddhanta's order. And out of a movement with hundreds of thousands of people, Prabhupada was the only one who actually carried it out exactly as Bhakti Siddhanta wanted. Do you understand? So it's not that when we heard about the Gaudiya Math, we began to doubt Prabhupada. No, we became more proud of our spiritual master. So it's just like my parents always used to tell me, you should be glad that your parents don't drink or smoke. They tell me that some parents beat their children, some parents do this, some parents do that. So in that way, Krishna has given these historical examples. Krishna has given these examples. So you should be happy you have a guru who doesn't drink or smoke. Yes, actually, we accepted Srila Prabhupada. So among his godbrothers, not that they all fell down into sinful activity, but they deviated from the preaching mission, and Prabhupada told us that none of them actually really captured the purport completely. So, and to the Lilamrita, all the Prabhupada's frustration trying to work with them. So does that make us doubt Prabhupada? No, it makes us glorify him more. That if others have failed, that means it must be very difficult. Because someone could not do it, that means it must be a very difficult thing. It must be. So therefore, it made us more attached to our spiritual master. So Prabhupada said, if you try to see the guru without Krishna, that's bad. And if you try to see Krishna without the guru, that's also bad. If we see the guru as the representative of Krishna, then we'll never be deviated.